share of heartache and despair to recognize a good deal.
Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
All right, folks, there is a new band in Austin, Texas, and I'm really happy to announce that it's two of Austin's greatest secret weapons, Mr. Malford Milligan and Mr. Tyrone Vaughn. And we have Mr. Tyrone Vaughn with us here on Guitar Radio Show. How are you, Tyrone?
Hey, I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, thanks for being on. You guys are working on a record. You got an Indiegogo project that's going on right now, a campaign. Folks, if you go to the show notes at guitarradioshow.com, you'll be able to find a direct link to that Indiegogo campaign. So click on that link and go and donate. Help these guys make this record. Because I was at the one-to-one show here in Austin, and you guys kicked some serious ass. It was wonderful.
All right. Glad you made it out.
Yeah, man, it was a great show. So how did you two get together? How'd this all happen? You all know each other a long time, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we date back 20 years or so when he was in Storyville. I was in a band called Freeze Love. And we toured around, did a couple of tours with Storyville. And that's when we first got to know Malford. We've been in the Austin scene. I remember seeing Stick People, one of his first bands, when I was about 18, maybe at the Continental Club.
Right.
So yeah, so we've been part of the fabric there in Austin for a while. And I just really gotten off the road with Cyril Neville and the Royal Southern Brotherhood for the last 2 years. I've been out with those guys. I did two records and got toured a lot. Maybe did about 20 countries. Three continents,
yeah.
Australia and Canada. But when that slowed down, it was time for me to do something. I was either going to get going with my band or I was going to try to join forces with another singer. And I got the opportunity. I called up Malford and the timing was right. You know, he was coming off the band Big Cat. They put out one record and he was already ready to move on. So just timing, really, two Austin guys that fell into the groove. We got together, put the band together. This all happened in the last three months, I guess. I think South by Southwest was our first gig.
Yeah.
We had maybe four or five gigs under our belt since then.
I tell you, and you know, that one-to-one show, you guys were already, I mean, you had it was gelling already.
It's that Texas blues rock thing, and you know, it's a familiar feeling and sound, but you know, we're putting a fresh vibe on it.
Yeah, and you know, what's really cool, and I don't know what's going to happen in regards to the record, but you know, when it comes to vocals, you're not a slouch either. You're a really good vocalist. So,
oh, I appreciate it.
Is there going to be some room for you guys to do some like duets and stuff, or?
But definitely harmonies, you know. He'll take the majority of the main vocal.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, when we were touring around with Cyril had the percussion, you know, outfit, so he could back off a song or two and just play percussion. He had something to do. Me and Bart Walker could sing a song or two. But with Malford, you know, he's probably not going to sit back and let you sing the whole song. But, you know, like you say, duet or duo, yeah, something like that where we, trade off verses and whatnot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, are you guys writing for the record now, or is it pretty much all written at this point?
It's we've been collectively writing since I guess January, and then David Grissom got on board,
yeah.
And he brought in a few great songs. So we're pretty much wrapping up the writing now. You know, there's a couple of songs, a couple of spots on the record that are just sitting there. We're not sure what we're going to do. But yeah, we're on the end of it. We're on the end process.
That's cool. Is What Passes for Love going to be on the record?
It is, but it's going to be a live version.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But so, it's coming along. Like I say, we're about halfway through the record. David Grissom producing, and man, it just sounds killer. I don't know what to say about it. It's kind of got this Texas vibe where it's Archangels meets Story Boom meets Free Love, and Texas and Jimmy got in there too.
Yeah, you know,
it's all kind of cool that way.
Yeah, it's cool, and you know, it's interesting because you're I mean, everybody knows about your background and all, but but it goes a lot deeper than that, because you know, there's funk in there, there's blues in there, there's soul in there, and you're a pretty good country guitar player too.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, and I like mixing it all up. You know, coming off the Royal Southern Brotherhood, man, we play all kinds of different styles, and I like a singer like Malford. He can pretty much sing anything. He can really sing the rock and roll. You know, he can have the big voice.
Yeah.
He can sing over the loud stuff. But shoot, we try to keep it funky, keep the crowd dancing, and you know, just gonna play blues all night, one way or the other. It's not, you know, at least the vocal delivery and the guitar work is gonna be pretty bluesy.
Yeah. So the band that I saw at the 1-to-1 show, is that pretty much the band that's on the record and the band that's going to be the band, or is that going to change?
Well, you know, Grissom played on it, so we've got a couple of more guitar parts on the record as it goes in the studio.
Yeah.
There's been talk of adding another guitar player to fill out that big band sound, two guitars and a keys, but it's not solidified. You know, once you go on the road, you kind of want to slim down. So we're not sure exactly what the instrumentation is going to be.
Right.
You know, for the record releases around Austin, the local scene will probably have a full outfit.
Yeah. So you're looking at, okay, so the Indiegogo goes to about June 24, 25. And then you're going to go in, you're going to go finish up the record. When would you hope that the record would be out?
Turning it around fast, having it out
End of July.
Yeah, and that's pretty quick, so I don't know. I would say I'm up in August, you know, in the summer.
Right. That would be great. Oh my God, that'd be amazing. And
we're trying to get it going as soon as possible. You know, we're trying to get booked. We're trying to get the calendar filled up, and it's just, yeah, we're just running as hard as we can to make that happen. It's just gonna take a little bit of time.
Right. And I see the website is up, folks. It's MilliganVaughnProject.com. It's in its basic stages right now, but there's going to be a lot more stuff that's coming with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming along nicely. Go check it out. It's pretty cool. And,
yeah.
Keep checking back.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to go back a little bit with you and your history, because first time I ever heard about you was on a record that you did called Downtime.
There you go, yeah.
And there's some tracks on there that I really dig. I really, obviously, there was a single on there. It was called Next Stop Texas.
Yes.
And that's good. You're really playing your ass off on that. That's great. And then there's a track on there called 9 Times Out of 10.
Yes.
That's a great track, man.
You know, this whole record, for people that don't know, I did a record called Downtime, probably 2009, 2010, 11, somewhere in there. And it was a country record. And it was basically a group adventure for me, you know, because my mom, my grandfather on my mom's side, same country. He played acoustic guitar and had his own country band, and he had the low, deep vocal. Waltz to Brawls, Texas with me. And he just, you know, there was country when I, my first, you know, the first thing I can remember was probably in Lake Tawakoni in Dallas. Every 4th of July, my granddaddy had a big giant party, you know, fish fry, and his band would be playing out there. And so country was a real big influence on me. And I didn't really know I could sing it or play it, and I had the opportunity to. You know, a label offered me some good money to do it, and I got in the studio and just gave it a shot. It came out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I started touring around, and was going to move to Nashville, and was on the circuit for a while, and I think Downtown got to number 52 on the Music Row charts.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Well, yeah. I saw it on, I think I saw the video for Next Stop Texas on CMT.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, so there was a pretty good push there for a minute. And I just, what I guess the label, you know, came to its end, you know. But, you know, those labels, they come and they go so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, within a, it took about 2 years to get all that running. And then it took about a year to have it all crumble. You know, as far as the label goes, you know.
Yeah.
So it got out there in a big way. I was playing some pretty nice spots, but after that, I just came on, you know, back to Texas and started getting back to the roots, you know. And I think a lot of people appreciate it, and they want to hear me play blues. Although country is part of it, you know, Texas country blues and rock.
Yeah. And,
I love it all, you know. I love Waylon Jennings. I love Willie Nelson. You know what I'm saying? But I love T-Bone Walker, you know.
Absolutely.
Billy Gibbons. It all makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I never understood, why people have to always put these lines, draw these lines in between music. Music is music, you know.
It is, man. You just gotta find a groove. I guess that downtime, I found a groove on it, and now I'm trying to groove with R&B, and I'm just trying to do it again with Mountain.
Right. Yeah. So, after downtime, what happened after that? You said you came back to Texas. What happened then?
Yeah, I came back to Texas and I kind of regrouped. I started playing blues again, and I put together a band called TV and the Antennas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we played around for about a year. And I got a 6-song EP out, and then that's when I got the call to join Cyril Neville's Royal Seven Brotherhood. And then I went on the road with them for about 2 years straight, just two records.
Yeah.
One was off with Roof Records, one out at Muscle Shoals, and then one at Dockside Studios.
Yeah. Those are really good records, and the interplay between you and Bart is just really killer. You guys really complimented.
Man, it was so fun. Man, I appreciate you saying that. Me and Bart always love to hear that stuff. Me and him had a real natural connection from the first note. And, you know, guitar players are just, we're just geeks. We just want to play. And so it was fun to bounce stuff off of each other. And, you know, he knew all the styles that I knew. And I was on the Strat. He was on the Gibsons. And we were both playing Category 5 amps. And God, we had some fun out there, I tell you that.
Yeah, there were times where you guys just kind of stretched out, and there was some killer stuff going on.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So, are you still using the same kind of gear that you were in RSB? You're doing in MVP?
Pretty much. I've changed a little bit of color, you know, with the color pedals, and I'm using a little bit more funky stuff with Royal Southern Brotherhood. It was Bart that was coloring a lot of the tracks, and I was playing more of the cleaner tones. You know, you don't want to stomp on too many boxes at the same time. You know, you're going to have too many funk pedals going on. You're going to get a stronger thought, you know, you're going to get a better sound to kind of work that out between each other. So,
yeah,
on the Malcolm Milligan project, I can do more funk pedals. You know, I can do more wah-wah. I can do, you know, I've got a little bit more going on now than I did in RSB because, you know, we all had our parts in play.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference when you know, between two guitar play, having two guitars, bass and drums, as opposed to guitar, bass and keys and drums.
That's right.
You know, you've got that air. You've got air. So and you got a place to put it, which is great.
Great way to say it. Yeah. Great way to say it.
You know, it's like it's funny. It's actually when I watch your dad play with Mike Flanagan.
There you go.
It's the same kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
killer, you know. So, who's in the band at the moment?
Right now, Ken Furr is on drums. He's from Indiana. He's been awesome for about 5 or 6 years. Great drummer. Jeff Hayes is on bass. He's been in Austin about 20 years now. He's coming from Fargo. He was Johnny Lane's first bass player.
And he's enjoying himself up there, too.
Yeah, he has a good old time. He's a big And we got JD Styles is on keyboards. Morgan. He's from Toronto. He's been in Austin for a couple of years.
I would say that's got to be the hardest thing to find, is somebody that can really bring it when it comes to keyboards. It's so hard.
Man, you said a mouthful, because it takes so much, and then all the good cats are already taken, and they're charging a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can find some guys out there, but in a good way.
Yeah, for sure. So, run us through your rig. What are you using right now? Because I got all these guitar geeks like me out there that want to know about your tone and what you're playing.
Yeah, well, my amp I'm using right now is Category 5. They're out of Dallas, Texas. And basically, it's a super reverb, but it's an 80 watt. So it's got tons of headroom. With that amp, you can change the voltage on it to fit a smaller room or fit a larger room. But it's real crystal clear. I love these amps. You know, nothing missing. Plug it in, shine. It's just real. You start hearing your mistakes. You know,
there's nowhere to hide, right?
There's nowhere to hide, and you kind of gotta. You know, it makes you play better, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of like in-ear monitors at first, like a CD. Trying to mix yourself. What do I do? But yeah, you just got to get used to it. Besides that, I'm playing Strats. I'm going through a Fender Strat that my dad gave me about 22 years ago. I needed a second guitar. He said, "Man, you're in luck. Fender just sent me a bunch. Why don't you come over and check these out?" He had about four or five in the back room. They were all nice. And this one on the end, it was cream, kind of a gold color. So what's up with this one? He said, "Man, that is a gift from Fender for me helping them with this Ebony Signature series." So when that guitar came out, they gifted my dad with this guitar, and it's all to his specs. And it's a custom shop, but it's car paint. You know, it's actually custom car paint.
Oh, okay, So it's a thin
skin. On the body. Yeah, and it's just, man, this thing, it just sings on its own. You know, a good Strat or Les Paul, you can hear it, you know, without even plugging it in. Acoustically, you should be able to hear the resonance. Man, it's night and day from a good guitar to a crappy guitar.
Oh.
So, you know, just starting there helps, you know. And also, I'm using the Killer Guitar component. That's Killer Guitar Components. And I believe he's out of Indiana. But this guy, basically, you can go to his website and you can order all these guitar parts. And what it is just better quality metal.
Yeah.
Where maybe Fender or the guitars are just kind of using some cheap stuff. You can get more resonance out of your guitar with, you know, some of these higher quality bridges. You know, anything that's metal with your guitar can be replaced. You get a better rest.
It's getting hard to hear you, Tyrone. Are you near the phone? Because it sounds like there's paper rustling in the background.
Okay, there. So when it comes down to the pedals, using a lot of drive pedals or clear gains, you know, set differently. I'm using the Sabatius. Sabatius is an Argentina company. They make a great pedal. They're very durable and they're not that expensive. All their drive pedals are great, and I'm using some of their rotary stuff.
So basically, with the overdrive, you're just pushing the front end of that Category 5 amp.
Yeah. And I'll have two or three, a couple of clear boosts and a couple of drives, and I'll have them all set different, you know, and I'll use a combination of them all night.
Right.
You know, I'll just change it up. If it's going to be a real bluesy number, I'll get real clean with it. You know, and I'll take off the drive and I'll use some of the clear gain. You know, if I'm going to get dirty and nasty, then I'll turn the drive on with the clear gain. A couple different combinations, but I definitely like to mess around with, you know, gains and clear gains. And very rarely do I just get real nasty, real distorted. You know, it's just rare that I get too fuzzy.
Do you find yourself feeling more comfortable playing super clean?
Yeah, it sounds better. It always comes out better if I'm cleaner. That's why the twin has always been my friend. A lot of people don't like the twin. They're like, man, I can't get the twin to sound good, or man, you get that twin to sound good. And I remember my dad first said, he said, you could take over the world with a twin and a tube screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, the twin, it's in your hand. You know, you get that. Whatever's in your hand is what's going to come out when you got a twin or something. It doesn't break up, you know, you cannot hide. But when it comes to blues, I like the clean stuff. You know, I don't like it when someone dirties it up too much. Maybe Gary Clark Jr. <You know? laughs> he's pretty fuzzy these days. I remember him coming up. Yeah.
He gets good and dirty.
I remember him coming up. When he was coming up in Austin, he wasn't that fuzzy. He was clean. He was clean, mean and clean. And that's what I like out of a player. But, you know, they did that to his vocals. You know, his records sound good, but they definitely drenched his vocals and his tone. But maybe that's what he's going for. Shoot, I don't know.
I think so. I think he's trying to find his own signature, you know. And
I think he's doing it because, I mean, that fuzz is getting around. People are loving it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, when I hear you, I hear the cleanness of a B.B. King.
Cool.
You know? And that's hard to pull off too, because like I said earlier, there is no place to hide.
Yeah.
So,
well, I get that too a lot from Jimmy. You know, my dad, he's that one note, king of the one note. He gets more out of one or two notes.
Yeah. His style has changed greatly over the last 20 years.
Yeah, you're not lying either. He's kind of adopted the finger.
Yeah, the finger thing, and he's got this.
Albert Collins.
Yeah, Albert and Earl King. Earl King.
Earl King. Mm-hmm, exactly.
I hear Earl King. I mean, when I go see him, I'm like, wow, look at that. He's doing it better than Earl King.
Yeah, that's what he grew up on. You know, that's where. That's just kind of, he's going back, you know, way back with that.
Yeah.
And thank God he is, because he's holding the cornerstone down. You know, he's holding that part of music down, and somebody's got to do it. Because trust, I mean, if he doesn't do it, who's going to do it?
Well,
nobody's got the balls to play like that.
Well, think about it. You know, Clapton's done. It's over. You know, that's it. And really, when it comes to the elder statesman, if you will, it's him.
That's it.
You know,
like you said, it's changed drastically in 20 years, and I like where he's taking it. You know, I mean, he's never in a rush, and he's just going to play what he wants to hear.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When I hear what he was doing when Strange Pleasures came out. And what he's doing now, it's vastly different.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable. You know, he's comfortable in his own skin. And that's what I get from when I hear you too. You seem really comfortable. You know, it's not forced. It's all easy. It's just real natural. It flows. You know what I mean?
Great, man. That's what I think you're looking for. I think that's what Speedy was trying to do. You know, mm-hmm. He worked really hard at making it look easy. You know?
Yeah. So your uncle, he gave you your first guitar at five?
Yeah, one at five and one when I was seven, he gave me another one.
And what did he give you?
The first one was a Harmony, a little, you know, a pawn shop Harmony guitar, black. And then when I was seven, he gave me a Music Master, a little Fender Music Master, you know, with a small neck.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But, you know, these are pawn shop guitars. He was going in. With like Lou Ann Barton and W.C. Clark, and they were like, you know, pitching in a month's worth of work to buy a little pawn shop guitar. You know, I remember when he brought it over for my birthday. It was wrapped in like two Safeway bags, or like, you know, grocery bags, like the paper bag.
Yeah,
it was just one on either end. He was like, here you go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And he brought over a 45 of the Cobras, and he signed it, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Like, wow.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad it was a Harmony, too, man.
Yeah, you got to love it.
Yeah, man.
I still got those, and I'm fixing up.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, pick them up, hand them down.
So, what are you taking away when you're working with Grissom?
Yeah.
What do you take away from that? You know, I mean, you guys obviously played together before in a live setting before, but have you ever worked together in the studio before?
So Grissom, no, that's the first time that I worked with Grissom in the studio. What he brings is just excellent. You know, he's such an excellent musician and songwriter and guitar player.
He's got an interesting ear too, don't you think?
He really does. He's so colorful, and he can make a little, you know, he can stretch a chord out and get more out of a chord than you think.
Yeah.
And I definitely picked up on some stuff, but he really kind of liked what I was doing too. So I think just being in his presence, I played with him. You know, when you go in the studio, it's almost like a blackout sometimes. You go in there, you get in the vibe, you get in the moment, and you let it out.
Right.
And you don't even realize what you've done until it's over. And that's good because, you know, I mean, the pressure's on. Just to squeeze the strings in front of Grissom, there's some pressure there. And, you know, he disguises you in a way, you know, very subtly, left or right, up or down, you know. Back off a little right here, or, you know, really hit it hard here. You know, he just wants to kind of figure out where I was coming from. It's a match of heaven. Me and him, you know, two guitar players just having fun.
Yeah.
But I already had my tone together and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're just getting down to Nick, you know, neck pick up or bridge pick up or softer here, softer there, or litter riff here or that. So, just having a fun time, really. Just being, trying to be loose, trying to be relaxed, and say a couple prayers and fire it off.
Yeah. And that's really good, too, because if you can be in a situation like that, it takes the pressure off and you can really just concentrate on the performance as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, Arlen Studios, a lot of history there.
Yeah.
And just the whole vibe of it, man. It just felt great. Yeah. The whole band.
Yeah.
You know, you got Brandon Temple cut on the record. Chris Marsh was on bass. Michael Ramos. We brought in some good studio musicians for some of the songs we wrote
I'm psyched for this. I think this is going to be a killer record, man. Is there going to be any?
Yeah, I can't wait for you to hear.
Yeah, man. Are there going to be any other shows in Austin in the area coming up? Or
yeah, we're playing June 10th and June 13th. June 10th is at the Rock Rally. We're at the Expo Center at 4:30. We play till 6. That's June, and then June 13th we're at Antone's. You might want to come out to that one.
All right, the 13th.
Yeah, it should be a Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I'm there for that.
Friday or Saturday, yeah. Yeah.
That room, man, I don't know how they do it, but that room sounds just as good as any of the others.
That's what I want to hear. I haven't been in there yet, but I've been hearing that. So
yeah, that room is tuned. It's tuned up. It sounds great.
Okay.
I heard initially there was some ground issues on the stage sound, but I think they've cleared that up, so that's pretty good. Well, so are we looking at when this record gets done, there's going to be a full-blown tour, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, we're in the midst of trying to get picked up by a booking agent and / label, so it's just a matter of time before a solid booking agent picks us up and puts us on the road. You know, we want to get out of Texas. We want to take it nationally and internationally if we can.
Yeah.
And just get, you know, get a good solid run in for old Malford. You know, Malford wants to get out there and really kick in the butt.
Yeah.
That's what we want. You know, I'm young cat. You can drag me around, so I'm ready to go.
So,
and yeah.
When you were out all over the world with RSB, I mean, you got to see what it's like as far as the European audiences loving the blues.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean,
it was amazing. It's a great appreciation. You just don't know until you go.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know how big or small the world really is until you get out there. And this is an opportunity for me to do that. You get to know yourself. You get to know your limits. You get to know the road. You get pushed, you know.
Yeah.
And you find out what's important. And people like Cyril Neville, shit, he's 67 years old. People like our drummer, Yonrico Scott, was 60. So these guys show you how you can still play at an older age.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a real respect for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very humbling, and you kind of got to that separates the men from the boys. You got to really want it, and it's not always going to be, you know, rainbows, but somebody's got to do it. And the road can be very, very nice, and it can treat you very well. European folks, they really get it. You know, depending on where you're at, you know, if you're in Spain, you get the young kids come out. They're really funky. They want to get down. They like to party. They dance all night. You know, you can't miss a note. You know, everything you do is right on the money. They just love it. You know, and you can make some good money at the same time. Mm-hmm. See some world. It's just a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's. I tell you, if this record is anything like the live performance I saw, then
yeah.
I think people are going to lose their minds, man. This is going to be killer.
Nice. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're having fun so far, but it's just the beginning. And you know, we want to be mainstay for a while. We'd love to do a couple of records and see if we can, you know, put a couple of years under our belt.
Yeah, and now and I think we need to get you an endorsement deal with Fender.
Yeah, it's time. That's fair.
That should happen.
Yeah.
Well, Tyrone, man, I can't thank you enough for being on the show, man. This has been great, and we're gonna blast it out there, folks. Go to MilliganVaughnProject.com. If you go to GuitarRadioShow.com, in the show notes, you'll be able to find the link to the Indiegogo campaign to help them get this record done. Is this record going to be self-titled? So it's going to be called Milligan Vaughn, or what?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, man, I wish you nothing but the best, and I will see you on June 13th.
Mark, you're the best, man. I appreciate it. Great talking to you, dude.
All right, man. You be good, and we'll see you then.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
A little story for you.
Check out Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, and Tumblr, and of course, on GuitarRadioShow.com.